Okay, it's 4:30 now. I'd like to welcome everyone to today's web conference, in which we have one primary objective. We hope to teach you how to increase your Google page rank by attracting strong mutual links. I encourage you to hold your questions until we ask for them so that we can get through our pretty full agenda today. And without further ado, I would like to introduce our keynote speaker, Dr. Flint McLaughlin.
Thank you, Brian. I'll be calling back on you shortly to help us. In the meantime, I want to welcome everybody and thank you once again for attending the conference. And we're going to go ahead and get into our notes. So we'll begin with a research log, quick review here, and let me just go to the agenda. You're going to want to have your file ready. It's in the notes right now, marketingexperiments.com. The latest report on Google, it'll be in the members section in your left nav. The link is marketingexperiments.com/members/retailers/default.cfm. That's the main page of the lab. Once you get there, you can use the left navigation and click under promote your site or promote your store on the Google PageRank tested link. We'll be referring to that in a little more detail in this conference than in the last. In the notes that you have also in the research log that we have prepared for you, there'll be a number of links at the top there. We'll be referring to some of those links. Some of them we talked about in part one, but you're going to want to have those links ready so you can click on those at any point to keep up with this as we move through various resources across the web. The other thing I'd like to do is, before we get into the conference, if you'll take a look on the default page of the lab, the primary home page, you'll see the summary edition of the journal, which just went out to you. And it basically summarizes the interactivity that we have for this month. And I want to go over it with you just for a moment because it'll help you in preparation and with this conference and also to make sure that you're getting advantage or taking advantage of the information and data that we have for you. It tells about part one on the summary edition, and that's the previous web conference. I don't know the ratio as to how many of you were on the first session. I know that we booked it completely up on the very first day that we offered it, and I have here links to the research log notes from the previous conference, and that's a blue link under part one web conference, home page of the lab. We also have the telephone transcript notes, or actually audio recording, both for Windows Media and for Real Audio. Those links are here. That's in the conference that we held approximately 2 weeks ago. And if you haven't heard part one of the conference, or if you want to refer to that and refresh your thinking, you can do that, of course, you know, after this conference, and that's available. Our major experiment this month, as you all know, it's been Google PageRank, and that's talked about in this summary edition. Every month we send you out an edition that tries to make sure you didn't miss out something or that an email didn't get to you and kind of let you know what's available. Also, the research logs, which you're looking at right now, are being updated typically about twice a week with ongoing notes from our research. There's some good information in there that's been posted even this week. One of those is a whole series of valuable links from our literature review on affiliate programs, and you may find that fascinating. And there's a log both for retailers and publishers, and there's entries that overlap. If we have an entry that will help either one, we'll put it in both. That's in our research logs, and that's been already discussed in the summary edition. Finally, I think we all know this, but coming up this month is our latest report on affiliate programs, and it is summation of thousands of pages of information and a lot of testing and information on our end. And this should be very helpful. It'll also be quite radical because we don't believe most affiliate programs work. We think the premise is flawed. However, done correctly, it's probably one of the most powerful tools you have in order to expand your business. It's in our experience that it doesn't take long to basically, once you fine-tune your ROI, to get all the available traffic you can buy from pay-per-click search engine traffic to reach the scope where there's actually no more profitable traffic to buy. to drive to your website. That can be a very frustrating place, and it can be a plateau. What we've discovered is once you hit that level, the very next thing to begin to do is to look for strategic alliances so you can share traffic with other people and other sources. We're going to be talking about how to forge those in the next. So having said that, let's get right into the Google information. And I quoted last week a number of stats on Google, which I will not quote for you now, that emphasize how critical it is in terms of its place in marketing, what it can do. I'm talking about PageRank now as opposed to AdWords, how it can overall reduce your cost per click, and how it's coming to dominate the entire industry, including Overture when it comes to search games. And then I quoted Jeremy Brookins, who was on the phone last week, and he's a full-time researcher with our staff, and was very helpful in the last call, I think. Where he said the real keys to Google are an aggressive linking campaign, a non-redirect affiliate program, high-quality content. In the end, unlike the predecessors, Google PageRank is really designed to make sure that you have a good site, or at least a site that a lot of the internet community likes. It's smart, and to get a high page rank, you are really forced to develop a good site as opposed to learn a new trick, like cloaking or something. Problem is, as we said last week, the summary is simple, but simple is not a synonym for easy. And how are you and I, and everything else that we have in terms of responsibilities, implement these three key elements? Aggressive linking campaign, strong affiliate program, and high-quality content. We will address the affiliate program in our next major report. Content has been addressed in last Google session that we had and also in the report we released. I'd like to focus in this session on probably one of the key areas to site growth and traffic growth, and that is strong, aggressive linking slash mutual linking campaign. How do we do it? How do we get people to link to our sites? Last week when we looked at content, or I say the last session about 2 weeks ago, you may recall from our notes, we visited tomshardware.com with a page rank of 7, serletables.com with a page rank of 8, reviewcenter.com with a page rank of 7. And we noted a number of keys about those sites and why we think they had a good high page rank. I would point out for you that if you don't recall some of those notes, after the conference is over, we posted my actual teaching outline with exactly the points that were made. And that is in the research log, so you can reference those later. Then we talked about some ideas for developing rich content. And we cautioned you that it's more difficult to add good content to your site than you may think. And if you're not careful, you could stray from your core business model, which can further dilute your results. We felt like many retailers would do well to connect with a content site. And there's a lot of opportunities to do that because there's a lot of sites with content that don't know how to generate very much revenue. And we talked about some principles for doing that, recommended a good book on brand extension and its dangers called The 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing by Al Reese and Jack Trout. And then we talked about some principles for forging relationships. Now, as I look at this question, how do you attract strong mutual links, I want to get, first of all, in a quick understanding of the basics and then move right into some special, often overlooked ways that have not been talked about hardly even in our reports. In case you're not strongly acquainted with the fundamentals, I'd like to refer to our Google PageRank article. I mentioned before that if you're in the lab, click on Google PageRank Tested, which is a link, left column, under Promote Your Store. You will come to the report that was released this month. As I am there, and by the way, this link should also be in the links that are on the research log that we gave you that we would be visiting. And if you look, you'll notice that there's about, you can scroll down, the first part of the report is data, and then to move to section 2, and it's about 10 pages long. It's one page on your, it's about 10.
Could you please repeat the URL of that Google reference you just gave?
Pardon me?
Just Flint, would it be possible to increase the volume at all? I don't know if I'm the only person, but I'm having some difficulty hearing some of the details.
I normally do a volume check, and I didn't do that. Let me see what I can do to help you. Is that better for you?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, good. All right, I am at the bottom of the first page on the Google PageRank report, and I am clicking, it says continue, and I'm going to part two.
I would like to know what is the URL of that Google report you're referring to?
Sir, it is in the links that you have at the top of the research under marketingexperiments.com/members/retailers. And it was on the home page, but because the new summary edition has been released, it is in the left nav under Google PageRank Tested. The
okay.
exact, you know, when you get to that page, you want to scroll down the bottom and hit continue. And I will go ahead and have Brian.
Yes.
Cut and paste this precise link, if you would, and add it to the research log right now.
I will do that.
He's going to add it, and it'll. And if you know, in about 3 minutes, if you refresh your page, the new link will show up right at the top in a fresh entry in your research log. In the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and get into it, and I'm looking right now at, as you begin to scroll down the article, we get into a section that says, how do you persuade other quality sites to link to your site? And we talk about, number one, submitting your site to DMOZ, which is the Open Directory Project, and which somehow Google seems to place certain emphasis on when it's calculating page rank, or at least you know, it helps in terms of getting spidered. And DMOZ is point number 10 on the page of 43 steps. I would say that of the many steps that are outlined under this point, and I'm not going to teach them because you can read them, I'm going to move on to new things. But I would only emphasize two or three key points. One of those is the use of, I think it's very important to make sure your site is registered with DMOZ. And it doesn't take very long to do that at all. Jeremy, how long would you estimate it takes to do a DMOZ registration?
In our experience, DMOZ is run mostly by volunteers.
Yes.
So it can take up to a month. Once you submit your site, they do have a forum that you can go to, and you can post your submission there to make sure that a moderator sees it, and they can go ahead and take care of it.
Yeah, the forum, it takes a while for them to recognize it, as it does with many of the free engines, but as far as the time to complete it, it's a very simple process. It's a forum. You can go there. In less than 15 minutes, you can get your site set up in DMOZ. I think that point number 12 was important. How many of you... We can take a look at a couple of these tools. One of them is marketlead.com, and you should have the link right there in the notes that we gave you. It's also there in the article. Take a look at this tool, if you would, for a moment. Is anybody having trouble for that tool to come up?
Before you go on, could I ask a quick question or make a quick comment on DMOZ?
Yes, you can, certainly.
Yeah, I've had not very good luck with submissions. They're just like Yahoo in a sense. You got to be real careful about where you submit it. And I've probably tried over the course of a couple years, 8 or 9 different sites. And honestly, I don't know if more than one has been accepted. I never hear from them, and then I drill back in, and the site can't be found. So, do you have any, and obviously, the main things, just like with Yahoo, you avoid sales hype and all that kind of stuff. But do you have any pointers beyond? Is there something I don't know that I'm missing here on the submission process? I know you have to drill into the category and try to make it a good match for the editors when they look at it. But beyond that, is there anything else I'm missing?
Well, there are a lot of different types. The answer to one question, to that question, might not be correct to the answer to, depending on which group you're talking with. In terms of DMOZ, I find it to be fairly straightforward. Jeremy does has done some of those submissions. Aaron Rosenthal, who's not on this conference, but we can bring him in, has done a lot of our submissions in this area. Jeremy, have you done recently outside of the Google-related page work? Have you done general submissions in your work with Aaron?
We did do a few initially. We ran into a problem at first. What we're finding with DMOS is that persistence counts. So the problem is they have moderators all over the world. Even inside of DMOS, a lot of times it can boil down right into which moderator you're dealing with.
So if you're not in the directory, say, after a month, would you recommend resubmitting?
I would recommend resubmitting and also going onto their forums and making some noise. Usually the guys that I've seen that have had problems, what they did was they went onto the forums and they made a lot of noise. They made a couple posts. And usually within a short period of time, they got handled. DMOS has also, probably within the last few months, has started incorporating an oversight where if a moderator's not doing their job, you can get a hold of somebody or supermods, and they'll take care of it.
Excellent.
DMOS is just kind of like one of those projects where they're trying to work out the glitches, but because it's a volunteer-based system, it's not perfect.
I understand.
By any means.
I would also recommend that there's a list of 30 or 40 free sites that we submit to, never under the illusion that they're going to drive lots of traffic, but under the simple premise that it helps to be linked in those sites to your site. And those sites are footnoted in the report. But more importantly, Brian Hall, if you would make a note, we will submit, we will list those sites in a subsequent research log entry that we use when we do free submissions like DMOS for the sake of Google PageRank. Brian?
Yes.
Can you make a separate entry of that? Good. All right. So for those of you on this conference call, one of our very near research entries will lay out for you every site we visit. We don't visit all the free sites because many of them will work against you because they themselves are violating some of the Google principles or criterion. But these are the ones that we use. And typically, we start out every Google campaign by submitting to these sites. They don't drive a lot of traffic. They do drive some, but primarily what they do is get us reciprocal links coming into our site. So that's a list that we'll give to you, number one. Number two, let me just, scrolling back up to these points, we started at point 10, and point 11 talks about a list of sites that you want to be linked to. I won't get into that. 13 is a sample letter that you can use to approach somebody. Those are all critical, but I'd like to go to a tool and make sure you understand how to use a tool to check how well you're doing. So we'll do that, and then we'll get into something a little more sophisticated. But come with me to marketleap.com, www.marketleap.com. And once you get to marketleap.com, you're going to see down there in the left nav, it says free search engine marketing tools, and one of those is a link popularity check. And the link popularity check will bring you to a simple tool that you can utilize, entering information about your site to determine, what your link popularity is. Is everyone finding that? Is anybody having trouble finding that? Are we still connected?
Yeah, we're still here.
Yes, okay. Finding it.
We're still here for it.
Okay. All right. That tool is useful and for figuring out, what your popularity is. But now go to linkpopularitycheck.com. www.linkpopularity. Don't rely on Google's toolbar to tell you how many incoming links you have. And in fact, I might make a suggestion that would help you. Once you use these tools, linkpopularity.check.com is linkpopularitycheck.com is another tool that helps you start to see, how many links you have coming in. AltaVista is a traditional tool that typically it's quite comprehensive. And I've used in the past to determine, you know, incoming links. But I would just for you that one of the things that we do regularly here, especially whenever we see any traffic surge, is we run back and do a quick link pop check, and we look for fresh incoming links to our site. Those fresh incoming links indicate to us that somebody new has come, you know, that somebody new is driving traffic, particularly if we've seen a spike. Every week, we're shocked to find new places that are linking. We don't stop with that. Often, we'll send a note to that person and invite them to, you know, thank them for linking to us, or we'll send them a resource note or invite them to participate in one of our other programs. And it's a very good way to even locate potential affiliates. It's also a very good way to find out who's interested in your site and who's bookmarking it. Often when I get somebody linking to my site, I quickly go in back to their site and find out who else they're linking to and discover who else is getting their attention in the marketplace. Sometimes those people are excellent sources of links back to you. So it's a good idea to go in, find out who's linking to. I may have mentioned in the last call, I was, you know, as we go back through our links, we've got over 13,000 incoming links to our site. And as I by the way, Google doesn't nearly register that many. But we have more than 13,000. And when you trace those links from our site, we find that, you know, we're quoted on the homepage of the School of Journalism in Scotland, and another one in, I think it's Kansas, and that we've been quoted in the Rolling Stone and Washington, places you'd never think we knew nothing about. We knew about the Washington Post, but what we didn't recognize is how many other sources, quotations in the Washington Post would get us, you know, when they picked up the story on the wire, and so we ended up in many other links, many other places. I would recommend going backwards and testing, using these tools to find those places and going back and checking for what you can do to enhance. Sometimes, particularly if you're a content provider or a retailer with views or any kind of useful content, you can identify those with the strongest traffic by going to, say, alexa.com, and you can also tell a lot just by the look of the site. And instead of just having a link to your site, you can write them, thank them, and offer them, you know, one of your reviews, or offer them a reprint of something from your website, or offer them an affiliate commission. If you're a retailer, why not offer them that? Or, which brings me to, you know, the second part of my report right now, or this conference, offer them a syndication feedback to your site.
Could I ask a question, sir?
Yes, I'm going to take some. Let me just summarize and let me take that question. So under how to attract strong mutual links, the first thing I want to say is take care of the basics. And our report has a lot of specific information in it regarding that. And there's some key tools in there to use. And but beyond that, you need to ask yourself, all right, what else can I do once I've done all that? That's what I'm going to talk about in one moment. But let me take questions on what we've said so far. Go ahead.
My question is, what is the difference between linking via affiliate marketing versus mutual linking today you have been talking about till now?
Hey, first of all, can I ask your name again?
My name is Jagdish from Net Studio Corporation.
Okay. Now, Jagdish, I'm not sure that I could clearly understand the question, so could you state it just a little bit slower for us?
Sure. The one way is to link with others via affiliate marketing offer on our site, we being a retailer of software. Another way is requesting mutual links or a one-directional link. My question is, what is the difference between linking as affiliates versus mutual links otherwise?
I think that I'm going to ask you, because I believe I understood your question, but I'd like you to email that question to us, if you could. You'll email it right now to administrator@marketingexperiments.com, Brian, you can fire me that via our direct connection right now, okay? And I'll review it, and I'll see if we can answer that for you on this call. If I cannot, we'll answer it for you privately, okay?
I've got a quick question as well. This is Gary Seaman.
Yes, Gary.
As it relates to free links that, you know, they're offering and you hear about it and, you see it under sponsored links quite a bit, free links, and it appears that they're looking for people to link with, and they're offering it. I mean, are there certain links that you want to stay away from? I mean,
in terms of, and how do you differentiate between the two, and how do you filter that? Or does that make sense even?
Yeah, well, I think that, first of all, let me reference you to our report. It lays out for you a whole set of warnings as to what you don't want to be linked to.
Okay.
In terms of who, and as to the rules that Google abides by. There's even excerpts from their website regarding this. But I can tell you in general, you want to avoid link farms. And I'll let Jeremy go ahead and comment on that question, because I'm sure he has something to say on that. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Okay, yeah. I think what you basically have to do anytime you run into something like where people are offering links and stuff like that is you have to really just pay attention to this site. Once you run into it, the best thing you can do is avoid link schemes. Now, it's one thing to have in the case of, you know, you're linking to relevant sites to your content or something like that. But if people are just building these huge link farms, basically, it's something definitely to avoid. And people who are just looking for links to anything, yeah, you probably just want to stay away because they're not being very, very selective, and that could ultimately come back to you.
Got it. And so you outline a lot of different things that say what to look for and how to what to stay away from, and that
actually,
you just have to learn.
Actually, point 18 through point 37 talk about, from the Google report, talk about how to maintain a high rank and what types of activities can jeopardize your Google page rank.
Got it.
18 through 37, I would refer you there. Okay. Point 38, you don't want to ever have to use, through 44, they talk about what to do if you get penalized. I would also just point out, since that question was raised, if you decide to submit to some of the free engines, not the link, not a link for all program, but a free engine like DMoz and others, don't use automatic submission or electronic submission, meaning don't hire some service and pay them $29.95 to submit you to a zillion links.
Yes, I read that.
That's dangerous and can get you in trouble, and it's also very ineffective. All right, so let's talk about some three very unique, often overlooked ways to attract strong mutual links. One of those is syndicated content. And it's an option that we use on our site. And Brian, as before you actually, Brian Ault, who was the former vice president of Bliss Universe and one of the guys that started SparkList, and he's full-time in our staff, is going to help you because he runs and our syndication research, and he's an expert in publishing-related matters. This syndicated content is something, if you're a retailer, don't tune out right now, because syndicated content is a superb tool for a retailer who's trying to, for instance, well, we'll talk about some ways in another point coming up how you could use this yourself. This is just not for publishers. But the definition of syndicated content, as we use it today, and I'm just talking off the top of my head when I try to find it, means that allowing content from our site to appear on someone else's site and automating the process so that we can change the feed and change their content. So that basically if 100 sites were linking to a specific set of content on our page, we could change that content on our page and it would automatically change everyone else's. That has a lot of potential from a marketing standpoint. Brian can talk to you about the how, but Brian, first of all, show us an example. Take us actually to, take us to example on our own site.
Okay. If you want to go to beautifulshopping.com/marketing-pagerank.html.
That is a link also, guys, that you should have already in the research.
Yeah,
log.
That is in the log.
In the list.
And this is an example of an affiliate of ours who, and we just launched this affiliate program maybe a week ago, so there aren't a whole lot of examples yet, but this is one of them who is syndicating one of our, part one of one of our articles. And, of course, the point of which is to encourage people who might encounter this article from this site to click through via an affiliate link at the bottom of the article to sign up for a membership and then receive part two, for which the affiliate would get a commission for. And this is, so I mean, we're combining our affiliate program and our syndication efforts here, and this is a good example of it in use. Did you want me to go into the how this is accomplished, Flynn, or did you?
Well, I want to get in there. I want to talk about what you're seeing. Let me look at Beautiful Shopping. Okay. Yeah. Okay. This is is this a international site, Brian?
I'm not sure.
I think this is an international site. Mind you, I don't think it's particularly attractive in the presentation, but basically, all this person has is a snippet of code on this page, and it is drawing the report from our site. And we are developing two versions of our content that's being fed, one that has style sheets and it's formatted, and one that has less formatting so that it can be customized to fit the look and feel of whatever page it's being syndicated on. It's very effective for them because it adds a lot of rich content. Now, candidly, I can't speak for this site, but let's assume that you were in a site that was related to consulting or marketing, and you have content like this from us on your site. There's a number of key benefits for you. Obviously, the benefit for us is the link, and if it's done in conjunction with affiliates, both your site and our site share revenue. Brian, take them to an example of the code or an explanation of how it works, and we'll move on. But give them an idea. And I'm going to let him talk for a minute, and I'll let you fire questions at him. So go ahead, Brian.
Okay. Yeah, worth noting on this page is the only part of the content here that's being syndicated is the actual center column starting from the Marketing Experiments logo down through the link at the bottom that says Keep Reading, which is an affiliate link through my affiliate program. And then he's also actually at the bottom of the page syndicated our subscription form as well, which is another way that we're tracking referrals via our affiliates.
That needs to be emphasized. We are actually syndicating our actual sign-up subscription form so that instead of trying to send lots of complicated code to someone or forms, they simply put a small snippet of code, and we control the look and feel of the syndication, of the subscription form. Can you imagine, retailer or publisher, that if you had a sign-up form on 100 other sites across the net, and that sign-up form, you could control its look and feel and optimize it and change it regularly to maximize the absolute yield per visit? Using the syndication script, we're able to do that. So I'm going to give it back to you, Brian. Go ahead.
Okay. If you click back to the research log and click on mastersyndicator.com or just go to that URL in your browser, you can actually see an example of the JavaScript code that is used on the right side of the page, about halfway down in the dark red column, is the sample code. It's just three short lines of JavaScript that they paste in, and then our content is pulled from our server and inserted into the page. And like Flint said, we're syndicating full articles, we're syndicating selections from our research logs, and we're syndicating subscription forms to our newsletter, and even subscription forms used as an exit pop-up. The script that we're using then is Master Syndicator, which is, I just direct you to the site at mastersyndicator.com. It basically allows you to set up an unlimited number of syndication fields and then just simply give either your affiliates or anyone who wants to syndicate your content short three lines of JavaScript that they paste into their page, which then pulls the content from your site. Master Syndicator is $99. What we're using is actually called Master Syndicator Gateway, which is $175, and it has a few advantages over Master Syndicator, which I will go over. Most notable is the new feature that the developer of the software added for us, which allows us to hard code affiliate IDs inside the syndicated content, so that in the JavaScript code that we give out to our affiliates, they plug in their affiliate ID to that code. The code is then fed to the syndication script, and it, you know, then returns links with their affiliate code hard-coded, which gives them, you know, credit for any click-throughs and sales that they refer to us. Other advantages include you can specify which domains are allowed to pull the feed, or you could allow everyone except for certain blocked domains to pull the feed. and you can set individual channels up either way. It also tracks impressions so that you can tell not only how many times your content is being served on remote websites, but also where. And you can schedule content to be activated in the future. You could set up as many different articles as you wanted to update, say, on a weekly basis. What's important to note as it relates to PageRank is that this JavaScript code itself is not enough to actually help increase your PageRank. You should also include a hard-coded link to your site, say, at the end of whatever you're syndicating, because what the JavaScript basically is doing is creating a dynamically generated page, which Google cannot index. So it's a trade-off there of having control over your pages using this script versus being able to, you know, achieve a high page rank. But I think the best way to work around that is to use both and ask that those people who syndicate your content include both the JavaScript code and a hard HTML link to your site.
Go ahead.
We're, I think I've already gone over what we're syndicating and my two examples.
Let me say this too, by the way. I think this is apparent, but just so you know, we're not affiliates of Master Syndicator. We're not selling their product. I assume everyone here knows that. We're giving you the facts, and we do use them, but we don't derive any benefit from recommending them to you on this telephone call. Keep on going, Brian.
Absolutely. Good point. To track click-throughs that come from our syndication efforts, we're using a combination of My Affiliate Program, which is myaffiliateprogram.com, which we use to manage our affiliate program, and ProLinks, which is the link tracking script that you can find at prolinks.com. That's prolinkz.com. And those both track click-throughs and referrals. ProLinks you could set up on your own site and use you know, on your own domain so that you'll get the PageRank credit for incoming links via ProLinks. There's also a free version of Master Syndicator that was just recently launched, which we've covered in an old research log entry, which is there in the outline there. I think that's technically how we're accomplishing things, but I'll go ahead and field some questions if anybody has any.
I did have one question.
Okay.
Basically, the hard link that does appear at the end of this is not a direct link, actually, to Marketing Experiments. It's an affiliate link,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, forwarding over to marketingexperiments.com. Is that actually contributing then to your page rank?
No, in that case, it's not. Because we've combined our syndication efforts and our affiliate program, it's actually not giving us the PageRank benefits that maybe just someone would have from, you know, allowing webmasters to syndicate their content just for the benefits of having the content and increasing the value of their site for their visitors. Because we've combined them with our affiliate program, we're not actually getting the PageRank credit from that because, as you pointed out, it is a redirect link.
Yes. Are you asking me a question, Brian? If so, I didn't hear it.
No, sorry. Did that answer your question?
Brian, I have a question on the Affiliates program and ProLinks. Why are you using two, and do they conflict at one point?
We're not using both. Primarily, at this point, because we've merged our syndication efforts with My Affiliate Program, we're simply using that to track click-throughs. What we were using prior when we had syndication efforts apart from our affiliate program, before our affiliate program was launched, we used ProLinks to track click-throughs. And in that case, you can install that script on your server, on your domain, so you'll have incoming links to your domain there. Probably the best thing to do from a page rank perspective is not to use any sort of redirect at all, which in our example page, which is an affiliate, again, is not a very good example of that because we are using redirect links, but If you were simply trying to increase your page rank via syndication efforts, I would recommend not using any sort of redirecting link. You could track the click-throughs simply by the number of referrers or unique users that came in from various referrers, which you would know who was syndicating your link because or who was syndicating your content through the master syndicator control panel. Go ahead.
I'm going to continue moving us forward because of the information that we have in front of you. We still have some critical information to communicate. But what Brian is saying is, I mean, this has rich possibilities, but I need to ask for feedback for a moment. At this point in a conversation, and we're talking through things at this level, we kind of view our web conferences as being a bit more complex and perhaps even more intense or a little bit more sophisticated than just our, at least our member web conferences, than our even our reports, which are quite detailed. But can I ask you for feedback for a moment? Is this conversation that he just had about syndication losing many of you, or do you find this helpful, and is it the kinds of information you want to get in these conferences?
I think it's very helpful.
Good stuff.
Okay. Very helpful and clear.
Okay.
Helpful. I think it's also, I think it's helpful, Flint, this is Tim, I think it's helpful, but at the same time, for people who, dependent on the man hours required to create that content that would then be syndicated, I think, we could also focus on generating page rank using, and maybe this is covered in the first call, but internal linking and some of the other things in the log. So I think it's useful, but I think that we should also identify, like you said, that it is not necessarily as easy to create that content as one might assume.
Yes, and also everything that Brian said is actually written and that he talked about, and it's going to be posted in the research log. So if he lost you or it was a little bit, you didn't catch all the notes, every link, every reference point, and it's all actually a set of notes on syndication that we'll be posting right after this telephone call. Plus, if you're not clear on anything that we're covering, feel free to download the audio recording and listen to it again and extract anything that you'd like. All good points, and we're right now at this section kind of moving into the very advanced levels of Google PageRank and of advanced ways to, you know, to distinguish yourself. Many of you are already very sharp and effective, or you wouldn't have waded through 43 blueprint points and be a part of this call, and you may know about many of the basic things, so we're going to offer you some of the more sophisticated ways that we work and hope that that will help you to develop competitive edge. Which brings me to the second of this often overlooked unique ways, and that is been mentioned in the first conference, but I think it needs to be emphasized as its own standalone and very powerful way to generate lots of incoming links, and that is reviews. That means reviewing products, publications, but when you review other people's products, other people link to you and link to your reviews. No, it's no accident that the most profitable PC magazines rely on reviews, both sell magazines and attract advertisers. And the reality is that it's a very useful tool, in my estimation, from the simple standpoint that, you know, you don't have to be a publisher. With reviews, a retailer can actually put together a strong information-based functioning page that has lots of utility for its visitors. And one of the things that we do with one retailer is we take the top 10 selling items in their reviews, and we take those items and feature them from their reviews on our site. And so they offer a top 10 in a number of categories, and we take those top 10 items and those top 10 products and we feature them on the site along with pricing comparisons, because we know that in that site it's going to be a low price leader. That is a powerful way to sell. Another, you know, Tom's Hardware, which we viewed last time, I won't go there now, but if you want to look at it, it's tomhardware.com. Extremely powerful site, extremely high Alexa rating. Doesn't have a good name. The combination of the name Tom and the combination of the name Hardware really make you think, if you've not been on the internet for a little while, that it's just a you know, they're selling hammers. But, you know, because it's really not clear who they are, but the brand is so old, most people in the technology side, they know who Tom's Hardware is, and Tom's Hardware is full of reviews, and it's, it works. It works as a standalone, and here's my next point under reviews. One of the things that you can do to really go after a high page rank, and pay careful attention to me if your retail site is generating dynamic pages, and because it's dynamic, you can't get spidered by Google very well, or your odds are much lower. You can create a separate site just for reviews and link from that site back to your primary site. You can also link not with big ads, but link within the editorial content of the reviews, which is much more powerful. I am not saying that you try to fool the consumer by generating lots of hype-based reviews that do nothing but promote your own product. You won't last long on the net like that because people will figure that out. But the reality is you can do honest reviews about five different products, and you may carry all five of them, and one of them is better than the other four. The reality is, I mean, as long as you're truly helping the consumer make a purchase decision, you're accomplishing something that's adding value to the market. And the other thing is this, I would point out, it's pretty hard to write good articles and reports. Ann over at Marketing Sherpa is constantly struggling trying to find good reporters. We've talked about that. But it's not very hard to find somebody who can write a product review. It almost writes itself. Paragraph one, is an introduction to the product. Paragraph two is an outline of its bells and whistles. Paragraph three is quotes from outside sources. Paragraph four is your summary opinion. I just created that on the fly, but there's a formula. If you find that's your writing or editorial formula, you follow that with every single product, and it writes itself. You just need it. And there are plenty of writers on the internet who would love to get involved, and it wouldn't be very, it wouldn't cost very much to involve them, and you may and probably have staff members that could do it anyway. I recommend for you, if you're struggling with your Google PageRank, to really consider reviews as a strong possibility. Do I have questions about that?
Could you review that formula you just gave?
I can try.
Four steps.
It's not in my notes. It's just generated on the fly, thinking about it as I go. But paragraph one would introduce the product, and you know who it is, who manufactures it, or where it's from. Just a paragraph describing the product. Paragraph two would probably outline the key features of the product. I'll add a paragraph three. It would probably outline. By the way, don't just do it in a paragraph. Do it in bullet points. Make it easy for the eyes. But paragraph three would outline its drawback. Its drawback. Paragraph four or section four, you might think of this as sections instead of paragraphs, but section four would address what other people are saying in the industry about the product, a few quotes, and section five would be, you know, the reviewer's final opinion.
Thank you.
Question. This is Gary Seaman. If you have a website that is service-oriented and not product-oriented, is this something that you want to think of totally different? I mean, you can find write-ups on the service that the company has provided in the past and so forth, but it's really not focused on marketing or selling of any particular product.
I think, Gary, where you have a service-based product, you're implying that you have a solution. A service
right.
product is a solution. And if it's a solution, then your content needs to be focused around that solution and complementary solutions, and your content would be more driven, it would be more how-tos. Than it would be reviews. You follow me?
Yes.
It would also could mix reviews of other solutions that or products related to the service. I can give you, for example, right now by dreaming up a service. Give me a service. Somebody tell me a service product, and I'll give you an illustration.
A web design, for example.
Okay. A program that designs web websites. That's not a service. A web design firm, you mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to a program? Okay. First of all, I wouldn't be in a web design business unless I had a value proposition that distinguished me from the other several hundred thousand web designers on the net. That's to begin with, you need to look at your premise, just to be very candid with you. Perhaps you have an advantage because you specialize in designing only in Yahoo stores, and in the Yahoo stores, you don't just specialize in Yahoo stores alone, but you specialize in Yahoo stores that are focused on 500 products or more. Well, maybe that's a value proposition. Maybe you're better at putting large Yahoo stores together than anybody in the country. Then you need content around that that talks about how to make changes in Yahoo stores, how to design. You know, we did we had a site that did this, and we actually wrote a book on how to develop Yahoo stores, and then we repurposed all of that into standalone content. Then we indexed the content in the search engines, attracted those people, and then we built 20,000 pages in Yahoo. That's how we did it.
How about a situation where you have an array of education, as you do and your site does, regarding how to build a website that gets high page ranking as it relates to Google and AdWords? And maybe is that
Then you can offer professional content, but you have to be heard above the noise. And that being heard above the noise means that you have something original to say, and you get third-party credibility reinforcing that. You need to be published. You need to be published.
Affiliation with your website, would that be a help? I mean,
it's a self-serving answer, but you want to be associated with industry leaders, and by some grace and favor, we've been able to get some type of industry leadership. We're not, we redefined the niche, candidly, which is what I recommend you do. When we launched our whole program, everybody said the last thing anybody needs is another web marketing journal. But what we did was we began and implemented a testing process that nobody was doing. And the fact that there was so much out there about marketing made people need us even more to cut through the hype. Mm-hmm.
Statement that you need, maybe. As you're going along. I don't know.
Our value proposition is simple, and it's been very effective. We grew 100,000 subscribers in 1 year under this simple value proposition. Discover what really works. But let me move on away from us and take you to a third source, okay? After overlooked ways, and I think you will find this interesting. The third source is awards. Winning, deliberately setting out to win awards. Now we reviewed 600 award sites. And we submitted to more than 50, three different websites, and began running tests. We never published these results. But we learned a lot along the way. I'm going to talk to you about five or six key points about that right now. And I may, I have more to say about it in just a moment. But number one, you want to consider this resource I'm going to give you. It's called awardscoop.org, www.awardscoop.org. All right, and you'll find that it is full of information that you'll find helpful as you're thinking about winning awards. Most people have some type of marketing effort, but they've never gone after, in a deliberate way, capturing awards for their site. The reality is every award you win turns into a press release, which can get you a series of links all by itself. Then the award itself gets you a link typically to a site that may have a high Google page rank. And as you win more awards, you're also certifying that you have quality content, which gets you more links from other people who just feel like you're an outstanding resource. I would consider a few points about awards right now that you would consider. Number one, focus on award sites. Don't just submit without reviewing the site. If the site itself is poor, you don't need its award, and there's a lot of poor little award sites out there. As I say, we selected 50 from more than 600. I would say number two, initially don't submit to the top award sites. Use the feedback from the lower level award sites to find out how you need to correct your site, because they will give you useful feedback about your HTML code and design. Use that, correct, win some low to mid-level awards, and then submit to the higher tier sites. I would say number three, don't use multiple site submissions. Meaning, don't submit more than one website to the same award or URL, because it can disqualify all the sites from any of the awards that are out there. And Brian Ault did our research on this probably more than a year ago, a lot of intense research. So feel free to jump in, Brian, at any point you'd like.
Okay. I just wanted to point out that the URL, I think, is awardscoop.org. There's awardsscoop.org. There's two S's in there in case anyone was having trouble.
It looks like awards co-op.
Does.
Because two S's, you're correct. It's awards. I'm just a fuzzy-headed researcher. Actually, I'm not fuzzy-headed. I'm I aspire to be. The next thing is many of you will have to have a separate site page on your site to post awards that you've won. because they'll check to see if you link to them in order to be eligible for the award, and they'll check that to see if you have an awards page before they'll give you an award. By the way, some of our best testimonials came from award sites that we submitted to, and they wrote us back saying, not only do you win, but wow, we like this, this, and this, and we're going to, you know, and so we used that as a powerful and compelling statement for third-party credibility. Really, you need to really carefully read the guidelines. This sounds obvious, but candidly, some of the award givers hide a password in their guidelines that you must include in your application to prove that you've read them. So you wouldn't want to miss that. Also, I'd say really the process of conforming to the criteria of many of these awards programs will actually improve your site. You know, compliance with COPA, correct use of meta tags, they'll find things like that. You know, a lot of them are doing checks on just your actual coding, not to mention your graphics, compression, load times, things that make you a better site anyway. Award sites have gotten a little more systemized over the years than when they first popped up. And finally, there's a lot of other keys, and we were thinking about holding a separate web conference on how to win award sites, convert that to publicity, and use it to drive more traffic. And I'd like to hear from you right now on the phone. Would that be an attractive conference for you? Should we consider something like that?
Yes.
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 Idea.
Okay. Okay. I've heard four or five of you. Can I get more feedback to make sure I'm, you know, some of you are lurking, as they say, in discussion groups. But anybody else? Anybody think it's a bad idea?
Give some examples of the types, just quickly, the types of awards. I mean, are they mostly related to site design if we're talking about awards online, or do they also relate to content and other facets of the product, service, or website?
Well, I think that depending on your industry, there's industry awards, though I'm focused primarily on website or web-related, you know, awards.
Got it. Okay.
Typically, we're talking about web awards. However, Tim, I have built other award-winning, you know, I have another program going right now where we have spreadsheets where we track all applications and, you know, this is an industry-related award, but, you know, you can win that way some pretty significant awards if you take the trouble to do it, track it, and make sure you're in it. Some of you, from a writing standpoint, ought to consider, you know, thewritersmarket.com. There's lots of awards in there that could help you in terms of content if you're a publisher. Go ahead. Another question.
This is Eric.
Not for me.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
My name is Eric, and I have a question regarding link popularity.
Go ahead.
Do you have any experience with, you know, link popularity building software? There's a number of tools out there that supposedly help to sort of streamline the manual searching process. I just typed in on Yahoo link popularity builder, and I, of course, came up with a few sponsored links from Overture. Any feedback on those tools?
Well, nothing that I have tested in the past helped very well in terms of automatically gleaning links. There may be something new that we're not out there. Most of the link popularity that I've seen software does analysis as opposed to gets the links for you. Do you follow me? And I would be very careful about link popularity software that generates some kind of automatic submission.
Right, then you end up on all those link farms and those damage your credibility. Yeah.
And this is Jeremy. The one thing you have to be careful is, it's like, for an example, one of the most popular link popularity tools out there is Web Position Gold. Google has stated them specifically. If they find out you're using Web Position Gold, they will remove you from the index, and you will be out for like probably at least 3 months.
Wow.
And the guys at WebPosition have been a good bunch of guys. I've watched them over the years, but you know, Google doesn't want you to get a high page rank because you did a trick.
Right, right. Yeah.
When you say using WebPosition Gold to submit, not to necessarily analyze pages and stuff like
do
that.
Do anything. If you do any kind of, see, the thing is basically Google does it and a couple others do it. Any kind of automated submission or tracking is a bannable offense.
It's the tracking and submission. I don't know that you're going to be troubled. Jeremy, you may disagree, and you may be right on this, but I can't imagine that using WebPosition Gold to look at your page is going to get you in trouble.
Unless it will. they will. It's been stated quite specifically by the Google reps.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I actually, there is a Google rep running around on several of the forums that are out there, and he's said that very specifically that all of the aspects of Web Position Gold will basically get you banned. I think part of this is also, in fact, that Google has started to sell licenses to make products that are allowed to automatically query Google. So that may be a control on their part.
If I own Web Position Gold, I could sit here at my computer and run a check on your website.
They would never know. It's such a rare occurrence. That's why Web Position Gold is still so popular and hasn't been run out of business, because Google has a very, very hard time finding it, because the IP of our domain and the IP of my work computer may be two completely different things.
Right.
Linking me to our website can be quite difficult. But some people, on the other hand, they'll run it from their own web servers. And that's where you're going to get in trouble.
There's another aspect of Web Position Gold. You have a lot of control over the timing parameters, and you can have Sure, you can have Web Position Gold stop after each query and give a lot of pauses. It basically causes it to be polite to the search engines, and so that would make it very much harder for them to detect. And if you have a huge run, you can let the Web Position Gold run take all night and let it be polite, and you'll get your result at very low risk.
All right, well, go ahead.
Is that the new one?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Let me suggest a couple of things for us here, because I need to bring things to a close and honor the time commitment that other people have, perhaps, to go to other appointments. We're going to post the notes from this conversation on the log within probably 30 minutes. They'll be up there so you can review our notes. Audio recording will come up probably tomorrow. Secondly, we're getting ready to do the release on Google. We're still working on it, but on the affiliates and co-venture and partnerships and our research on that. Anybody that has experience with affiliate software, good experiences, bad experiences, affiliate programs, please send us any notes that you have or information. We may interview you or look at notes or whatever. If you've got something to contribute, help us make sure that we've got a complete offering when we release it. And finally, I would suggest that I wanted to ask you, we've done two of these conferences now on Google, part one and part two, in terms of PageRank. Has this been, I ask this, I'm constantly looking for feedback. It helps me to understand, are we on target with this? Is this the kind of web conferences that you guys want? The way these are being approached, is this format and the type of information we're disseminating useful?
Very much so. Yes.
Go ahead, somebody else.
Very helpful to have the give and take, the question and answer.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think every topic that we come across, we could spend an hour or more on.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, you know, at some point we may bring a discussion group into the lab also, an actual, you know, we don't do a lot of things. We work real hard and do the few things and try to get them right, but it may help to have the community interacting after a conference like this, talking more about the things we're doing. We're going to offer a scaled-down version that would be one focused primarily on the content from the report of the Google PageRank Web Conference to our free subscribers at a cost of $79. Your costs, obviously, we don't charge you, and we won't for the next conferences. However, if you see that email, which will go out to subscribers about a web conference, another one, that will be this new conference that we're testing to see how our subscribers react to an offer. It's part of a research project we're doing right now on web conferences and how to use them with your site. And, of course, we will charge them for that. But if you get that offering, you shouldn't, but if you see it, that's what it is. And also, you'll probably be very interested to find out what we discover when we finish this research, because I believe web conferences can be a really good tool. All right, I want to thank you for coming. If you have more questions or thoughts, feel free to email them to us. I believe that we're already prepping for a conference on awards, how to win them, and the key information related to that. We'll keep you posted when that's ready. And in the next 2 days, you should get an abstract issue laying out abstracts from the research logs over the last 30 days or so, so that you can review those topics and see if there's anything there that will help you.